Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Welcome back to the NutriMedical Report, and I managed to connect to Jonathan by phone directly through my Skype to New Zealand. They're having some tech issues that are ongoing at Genesis doing that, but being a techomaniac, I managed to work around it. So we have Jonathan here. Jonathan, it is major day before Thanksgiving, and we have a lot to thank God for. The main thing we have to thank God for is the wisdom to be able to search his Bible, ancient archaeology, like in your website, beforeus.com, and your ministry, and see that God is with us even during the times when we are stupid, we fall away from him. He's always there to bring us back to a relationship, isn't he? And the most important thing we have to thank is they thank that God is with us despite our fallen natures, like Chris Pratt, who's one of my favorite people. It's a Christian that was in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie series. He said, don't tell your kid that they're perfect or they're wonderful. Tell them that they're fallen by God, but because they have defects, like all of us, we can pray and we can come back out of making mistakes, and God will restore us. But there's a lot of situations like that in the Bible, isn't there? And we went over the last few weeks a lot of the signs about how God rescued his people from the tribulation of the Egyptians going across the Gulf of Aqaba. We showed that the actual mountain where Moses received the Ten Commandments to give righteousness back to his people. And by the way, they fell away and did sins like raising the golden calf while Aaron was presiding over them, because they thought Moses is not coming back. So let's go back to Egyptian mythology and paganism and Druidic worship. So what do you want to talk about today?
I thought we'd talk about the Ark of the Covenant, Dr. Bill, but this is one that could take several broadcasts because it's a big subject, but a most important and interesting one.
I'm going to ask you a question before you get there. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? This is I'm sorry you have the answer to it, but what was inside the box?
It was the tablets of stone written with the finger of God containing the Ten Commandments.
Right. So the actual Ten Commandments were in there. What else was inside there?
Well, temporarily, there were other things, but they were placed on the side of, but not inside of.
Right, but for a while they were inside. There were several things. One of them is Aaron's rod was in there, right?
Yes, Aaron's rod.
And there were also little shaped bees that were inside there. And believe it or not, when the surrounding armies were about to kill all the Israelis, God sent them a massive bowel disease, and he actually had them the frame what's called, believe it or not, golden hemorrhoids. So believe it or not, in the Ark of the Covenant, they had golden hemorrhoids put inside the Ark for a period of time.
The Ark actually was a place for the storing of evidence, and this was evidence of God's intervention in the past, so that it could never be forgotten.
And he's got a sense of humor. You got to understand, if you don't read the Bible and start to get God's sense of humor, you don't get it. He's the best comedian in the galaxy, in the universe.
Oh yes, any sense of humor we have is only put there by the ability he gives us.
Yeah, and of course, when you get it, God says, you see, you give him glory and realize who he is. He says, like he said to Job, you don't understand because my ways are higher than your ways. You know? And Job finally got it and he realized he wasn't going to curse God, even though everybody around him said, curse God. So let's get into it. Let's go talk about the Ark.
Very good. Now, when they got to Mount Sinai, Dr. Bill, Moses was commissioned to build an earthly temple or tabernacle, which was called the sanctuary. Sanctuary meaning a holy place, a place of holiness.
Right.
And this was a place where, in fact, through the Bible, it examines the purpose of this and say it was because man had lost sight of God's plan of how he was going to save mankind, those who would accept it. And the sanctuary was the place where he restored, by a passion play that was enacted, as it were. It was more than a passion play. It was the people actually received total forgiveness once they accepted what was going on in the sanctuary and they repented of their wrongs.
Right.
But it was a place where the plan of rescue that God had for mankind was enacted out in detail to describe man's need, how God was going to get rid of the sin problem and save his people.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was doing it in a way that was basically God's step-by-step process. This is like a prescription for spiritual health, right?
Exactly, yes. And the tabernacle, actually, or the sanctuary as it was called, had a courtyard. And then in the courtyard was this building, which had two rooms, one called the Holy Place, one called the Most Holy. Now, and the Ark of the Covenant was the most central piece of furniture in the whole setup. But the person who had come to do wrong and was sorry for his wrong would bring an animal, and the animal, of course, was a prophetic symbolism of Jesus, who would become the Lamb of God for us and die for our sins, take the punishment, the guilt from us upon himself, in his wonderful love.
Right.
And so when a person had done wrong, he would bring this innocent little animal that had done no wrong. He would confess on its head the wrong that he himself had done, and then he himself would kill that little animal with his own hands. And this had a twofold purpose. Firstly, to produce a horror for the sin that had killed an innocent little creature, and secondly, to provide hope for the salvation that was coming. That was the twofold purpose,
right,
of it.
And by the way, salvation is not just a personal salvation. It's a corporate salvation to mankind as a collective bride of the Creator God, which is why that's...
Well, he has made it legal for us to be saved by his own death. He satisfied the demands of the law, and in his love, he's done it himself in place of us.
And by the way, that love in place of us indicated that, and this is one of the things I want to clarify. If you get a masseuse on your door, it says God is one. Jesus, Yeshua, we call Emmanuel, is the incarnation of God in the flesh. You know, they have this Trinitarian view about God when it's wrong. And that's why Jews, part of the reason why they won't accept Jesus, they don't understand Jesus is the incarnation of the Creator in human flesh. It is prophesied throughout not only the star signs, the sting of the scorpion book, but the entire Bible, and even pre-biblical information goes back for millennia, it prophesied the coming of God deciding to dwell among his creation. And people don't understand this, do they? They don't realize that he's coming back to marry mankind as his everlasting bride that lives in time-space, but God's eternal, which means God doesn't have a past or a future. He's pre-existent, omniscient, omnipotent, and he is beyond space and time in all dimensions. There's no such thing as change to the Creator God. God is the same yesterday,
right,
today, and tomorrow.
Yeah, I think one good way, Dr. Bill, to help us understand it is to tell a story. Jesus was always telling stories to make true a spiritual issue that was hard to understand sometimes.
Right.
And when he told the story, it made everything so clear.
Right.
Now, in relation to the subject you and I are discussing now, I recall the time when Sir Isaac Newton was alive. He was a little boy, and he ran out into the yard to play, and he got very fascinated as he saw these little ants that were carrying food across to their nest. And he got a little close and accidentally trod on one and squashed it. And he went crying into... He must have only been 5 or 6 years old. He went crying into his mother, and he said, "I've just killed it. Just stepped on a little ant, and I love these little ants. I don't want to hurt them." And his mother wiped away his tears, and she said, well, look, the little ant doesn't know, but yes, it's hurt you very much. And so he looked up into her eyes, and he said, Mummy, I think I could only tell them how much I love them if I became an ant and could talk the ant language.
Right.
Now, this is exactly what God did.
Right.
He knew that we could never understand perfectly how wonderful his love is to us and what it was going to lead him to do,
right,
unless he became one of us, spoke our language, lived our life, suffered our sorrows, met our temptations, and successfully defeated.
And became the perfect sacrifice because he was sinless.
That is right. And so by coming down and living with us and for us, not only did he show how, in a way that we can understand God, how God loves us, but also he defeated the enemy where we had failed, so that he was now qualified to take.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com. And a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871. We have this artificial holiday, Thanksgiving, and I think it was a fall feast. It might have even been a fall feast for the native peoples, but it's not biblically supported. And Christmas is definitely not the birthday of Jesus. I mean, anybody that's even a marginal Christian will know that Jesus was born in the fall feast. And that's why if you even look at the situation surrounding him in the manger, he was born according to exactly 6 months, different from the birthday of his cousin, John the Baptist, who King Herod Agrippa, the son of King Herod Antipas, who put out the call to kill all the young boys because he heard from his astrologers that there was in fact going to be a new king of the Messiah of Earth coming, and he wanted to kill all the young boys so the Messiah wouldn't be able to be born in the Holy Land. And that's why Samuel left for Egypt, and he came back later to live in Nazareth. But, you know, Nazareth right now is like totally Muslim. I mean, if you go there, you're just shocked. So tell us more about the Ark and, you know, everything around us, because people don't understand what we're living in, including inside so-called Christianity. And I like to quote the book of Revelation, says, "Behold, Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and of abominations on the earth." That's the Constantine so-called Christian church and all the daughter Protestant churches that are totally Luciferic, aren't they?
Well, that's the Council of Eden that's true.
Right.
Now, the Ark of the Covenant, as we mentioned earlier, was a teaching model of God's plan to save mankind. And the message was, mankind has sinned. He's broken that law, which is the foundation of God's throne. Now, the Ten Commandments gave its name to the Ark of the Covenant, because the Ten Commandments was called God's Covenant in the Scripture. And the box called the Ark, overplated with gold, was the receptacle for the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments was the center of the whole thing. And the Bible does say that sin is the transgression of the law, referring to that broken law. But over this law, they placed a lid in the Ark, called the mercy seat,
right,
showing that God will have mercy upon us sinners who've broken his law if we turn to him and ask him for mercy and help. And each year, an animal's sacrificial blood was sprinkled upon that mercy seat. to indicate that only through the shed blood of the coming Saviour could we as sinners receive mercy and be restored into the presence of God. Now, from God's divine throne, and this was actually representing God's throne in heaven, which is based upon law and love, from the divine throne emanates both justice and mercy. And that's the message of the Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
And it was constructed for that very purpose, to tell us the gospel story. So it's very, very simple.
So in other words, the actual Ark itself, now, you know that where the Ark is, according to the research from your colleagues. So where do you think it is right now?
Yes, well, I'll keep people in suspense a little bit if you don't mind.
Okay, do that. Yeah, but that was before the end of the show, because people don't realize the Ark is going to be revealed soon, isn't it?
Yes, it will be. And the reason we've given why it was called the Ark of the Covenant, because it enshrined the law which God had written with his own finger, his covenant, the Ten Commandments.
Right.
And that's what the scripture says. All right. Now, most people today have no idea what the Ark of the Covenant was. And they say, oh yes, it was a golden box, and it often killed people if they touched it, and they think that. Itself, but actually the reason a man could drop dead if he touched it was that unholy hands cannot enter into the presence of a holy God. And this ark was rendered holy by the presence of God.
Right.
And God is a God of justice. If we deliberately disobey him and show that we do not want to live in his presence, then we shall die for eternity, because he will honor our choice.
Yeah.
He never forces. But if we turn from our sins and ask him to forgive us and help us live a new life, we do have mercy. He's just dying to give us mercy.
Yeah.
He died to give us mercy.
Well, let me give it a little perspective. Think of God as the ultimate dreamer. God dreams the entire universe into existence. And one of the things God showed me before he sent me back from heaven, he showed me the vastness of the universe, which is why I got interested in quantum mechanics. He says, the whole universe and all of the galaxies, and I can show me all the star systems and galaxies, he said, there are more galaxies in the universe than grains of sand on every beach. He said, and all of these galaxies are an elemental particle in a hydrogen atom, in a water molecule, in a butterfly, in a world where I am still God. And I know where every photon of energy is, and every intention of everyone's heart, and everything that ever was or will be, is in my mind's eye as a dream. Wow. That's God.
It's enormous.
It's beyond the scope of the human intellect to understand.
Absolutely. If we could understand God, we'd be God ourselves.
Yeah, but he's going to indwell us. In fact, when we become the bride of God, we become empathic. We do not need law. We do not need money. We do not need government. We do not need class divisions. We have total empathy and telepathy. Just like when I went to heaven, I spoke to God telepathically, not with my voice or my mouth, but spoke with my mind's eye and my intentions of my heart. And what people need to understand, heaven doesn't start when you die. It starts from the day when you hear and do God's will. Shema is the Hebrew word. When you Shema God and you're willing to do what God says, even if it puts you in danger of your friends and relatives, you're doing the will of God. We are salt and light, and being a believer is not a noun, it's a verb. It's a verb. It's literally being God's bait for mankind, to be a bait, to be a fisher of men. You are the bait that God's going to use to fish men and women and save them, not only from a temporal death, but from an eternal death, where God ceases to believe that you should exist in his dream. How's that?
Well, increasingly, we should, Dr. Bill, be praying for the outpouring of the God Spirit to fill us, because we must reflect his character to others if we are to draw people to him. And when they see us reflecting his beautiful, loving character, just and loving, they will be drawn through us to him.
Right.
And this is what he wants. We're his representatives. We're his ambassadors today in this world.
What you're doing and what I try to do is not just give an intellectual argument or spiritually or prophetically or beautiful word or song. You're speaking what I call spirit words, which is the form of God speaking to mankind through men and women as a witness to God, that shows a compassion and a love that transcends beyond the human capacity to love, that shows it's not a human capacity, it's a God capacity through us. In other words, we become a conduit of God's love, his wisdom, and his praise of God's willingness to literally bring us back into relationship.
Yes, and what a wonderful privilege this is. You know, now, when Jesus was here on earth, he was showing God's wonderful love
right.
to people. And now he's not here, he's deputized us to have the privilege of showing that same love to people around us so that they will be drawn to him, not to us, but to him.
Right.
And so they will see the life of Jesus living through us. That's what he wants of us. That's
he said,
not to be saved ourselves alone, but to be conduits to save others.
He said that all the commandments fall into two things. One, love God with your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. I have a corollary to that. Your neighbor is yourself. Once we totally grasp that, all the need for government, law, and public churches, like all realize going on, disappears, because everything is relationship, isn't it? Relationship with God and your fellows.
It's all about a relationship.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, coming back to the ark, God is a God of justice. If we deliberately disobey...
Attention, parents and... Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
And welcome back. And of course, I'm introducing and welcoming Jonathan to do a show on my new, what I call Deagle Network, 24-hour stream guys, a stream radio network. And that means I have shows for 24/7. And you can do one from New Zealand. You can have players on your website. You'll have a little banner ad back to NutraMedical. But that's all. I'm going to cover all the costs for the show, whether you do once a week or weekend or every day of the week, or you have other guests on that want to do other hours of your show. And you can interview people. We can actually do an embedded commercial that'll be on all the shows dealing with BeforeUs.com, because I believe that what you're teaching is some of the most essential information that the church needs, because not only do people need to become Christians, the Christians need to come out of Babylon, don't they?
Absolutely.
And a lot of them are in one form or another of apostasy. Some of them are pretty silly and simple, like, you know, they think the rapture is where good people are taken out and go to heaven, and they look down. Don't look at the earth. It's awful. It's ugly. No, no. The Bible teaches very clearly that the rapture is taking evil out so good people can reproduce and have children that get to know the love and the wonder of the Most High God. As we become a more advanced culture and spread across the galaxy, we bring the love of God to new planets and new worlds where we become an agent, a bride of the Most High God across the cosmos. It's not to take good people out and send them to heaven and that's it, you're done. It's to have evil taken out so good can prosper on earth and as we spread across the cosmos, isn't it?
That's how we want it.
Yeah, that's what God wants. He wants a bride that will give him children, doesn't he?
Yes.
He wants a family. He doesn't want to just take us home and that's the end of the human race. You know, if everybody's gone to heaven, there's not going to be any new children, is there?
He wants more people to love.
Right.
Now, getting back to the Ark of the Covenant, we see here that in the justice and the mercy that was taught by this illustration, and this was placed in the sanctuary on earth for people to learn. It was an object lesson. That was a message of the gospel story. that God is a God of justice and God is a God of mercy. Now, that's the God of the Old Testament as well as the New. He changes not. There are many churches today teaching God was a harsh God in the Old Testament times and now he's a God of love. That's absolute nonsense. Our God never changes.
Right.
His law is never changing. The very foundation of God's throne was transcribed on earth in this sanctuary and placed in the second room, the heart of the Hebrew sanctuary. And it was a shadow of the heavenly, where God's throne rules the universe.
Right.
Now, why did the Messiah die? The Messiah died because we were sinners. We were sinners because we had broken God's law. And just as a man is a criminal because he's broken man's law, likewise a sinner is a sinner because he's broken God's law. And if there was no law today, there'd be no sin. The fact is, you just don't take away the definition of wrongdoing by cancelling the law. It's not going to change anything.
Right.
And yet so many preachers today are saying the law was cancelled at the cross. And now we don't have law, we just have love. Now that's nonsense, because the Bible itself says, no, I am eternal, I change not, my law is eternal like me, it changes not, my love is eternal, it changes not, and my justice is eternal, it changes not. That's the truth.
Right.
And I'm so glad when we see people today who are changing their minds about this and that, and you don't know if you can depend on them. We can trust our Creator God.
Right.
He never changes, and what he has said from the beginning, he says right now. So it's not hard to know what God wants. He doesn't change and mix us all up.
Yeah, he doesn't. He wants to be a God not of confusion, so you don't have to be a genius. In fact, the gospel is actually pretty straightforward, but it's confused by 10,000 denominations of Christian churches. Judaism is now apostate for 1,300 years in Babylon, so they're now wizards. All the other false religions they call real lies going on that teach you can become as God, whether you're a Buddhist or a transhumanist or whatever. And all of these things are confusion, but they're all luciferic plans to destroy not only your physical body, but your soul, and to separate
Absolutely.
You from the Creator.
Now, Dr. Bill, when mankind sinned, our first parents sinned, God had two options.
Right.
First option, he could have said, all right, I'm going to change the rules so that stealing will not be a sin anymore. People are so weak, so we'll just say that snatching other people's possessions from them is okay. We'll just change the rules. Some people can't stop committing adultery, so I'll change the rules so that if a man wants to cheat on his wife, it won't matter. Let's change the rules so that if children disobey and are rude to their parents, I won't mind. But these rules are for our protection. Would abolishing them bring happiness? Of course not. The Lord could say he could cancel all his commandments and then there'd be no sin, officially. But what defines sin? The New Testament says that sin is the transgression of the law. And so Jesus died for one reason. He died because that eternal law could not be changed.
Yeah.
And the fact that God's own Son, the surety for man, was not spared, testified that the divine law, which had been violated, could not be altered to meet us in our needs.
Right. Yeah.
Jesus died to satisfy the demands of a law from which we could not escape.
Right, and the fact
and
is, it's like
if that law could have been changed, he would have not had to die as to the penalty.
Right, so for example, if you don't put boundaries on children, they actually become anxious and get anxiety disorders and depression. Part of the reason why
Absolutely.
Your young people are now suicidal and drug addicts, etc., and basically losing hope and don't have hope, is because there haven't been boundaries in their life. So a lot of the millennials and others, inside or outside the church, are basically anxious, like a shocked rabbit. And the reason why they're shocked rabbits is there's been no boundaries put on their life, right? And without
exactly.
boundaries, you can't feel secure, can you?
That's absolutely true, yes. And so we're told in the Old Testament and the New that all his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. And in Ecclesiastes it says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so holy was the presence of God over the ark in the earthly sanctuary that when the high priest entered the most holy room, he used to wear bells on his robe so the people outside could hear whether he was still alive once he entered into that sacred presence of God.
But he's also singing a cappella, just like I'm a barbershopper singing a cappella. Means when he stopped the a cappella, they had a rope tied to his leg. And if he stopped singing, or they couldn't hear the bells, they pulled him out under the curtain because they knew that God killed him.
That's right. And they didn't dare go in themselves because of sin that might be in their hearts.
And they would die.
They didn't want to risk their own death, so they'd pull him out with that rope.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Now, this Ark of the Covenant was eventually, when they came to the land that they had been promised, it was eventually placed in Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. And it remained there for hundreds of years. And then came the time that the armies of Babylon attacked Jerusalem, and some holy men took the Ark of the Covenant and the most sacred temple vessels and hid them in a cave where they could not be found by the heathen Babylonian soldiers. And from this time onward, the Ark of the Covenant vanished from history. And it's been lost for 2,500 years. That's how long it was lost.
Well, that's a long time.
Yes, it is. Now, for 800 years before that, the Ark of the Covenant was the most sacred and holy object in the world. It disappeared in 586 BC. And rumors have been going around that it might have been taken down to Ethiopia, or has been taken over to Ireland, or taken over to Rome, or some other place. And
right.
These rumors are still rife among those that haven't been investigated.
Or was taken to Ethiopia, for example, Aksum, Ethiopia is one of the theories, right?
That's one of the theories, Dr. Bill,
yeah.
Yes.
Aksum.
That's
amazing.
Awesome, that's right.
We're coming back on break, but we'll be back for this last segment. This is amazing stuff because the real hope is that God is going to play out the actual symbology of the Ark of the Covenant when he does his salvation. It's not Christmas, by the way. We can give thanks to God, not because of this date, but because he showed that God is with us, even though we are apostate, personally and collectively. Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com. And a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871. So, Jonathan, please continue. This is an amazing discussion for Thanksgiving, because the ultimate thanks we have to give is give thanks to God, not just our nation or our leaders. If you thank God first, then everything starts to fall into line, isn't it? Then you can thank God for your family, your faith, your health. You can thank God for people like us that are actually as brothers and elder brothers that are trying to take care of our younger brothers and sisters in the Lord, and to bring them wisdom and to take away the confusion of the church. The church is lost in space, isn't it? And the rest of the population aren't even saved. They don't even realize the disaster they're heading toward, not just physical disaster, but the spiritual disaster of not having faith in God or realizing that God loves them, even if they're like Hillary Clinton or someone evil that's been cursed by their own family. God loves those people, and he wants us to pray for the most vile of our brothers and sisters that do harm to us, doesn't he?
We're told to do that, absolutely.
Yeah.
We have to love them as he loves them.
Right. And if we do, by the way, God lumps hot coals in their head spiritually, and he actually takes away their power to harm us, and he won't take their foot off our neck unless we pray for them.
That is right. All right.
Listen,
now, a study of historic records reveals that, firstly, the ark vanished between the 18th year of King Josiah, when it's recorded as having been moved back to Solomon's temple, and then 35 years later, at the siege of Jerusalem, when the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. So it vanished somewhere during those 35 years. Secondly, it's not recorded as one of the items seized and taken to Babylon during any of the three invasions, and the books of Kings and Chronicles and Jeremiah record what was taken to Babylon, and the Ark of the Covenant is not among them. And thirdly, it's likely it was hidden just prior to the destruction of the temple. To escape seizure, the Ark would have had to be hidden outside the city because the whole city was destroyed. But to get out of the city while it was surrounded by the Babylonian army would have been impossible. But it may have been possible to secrete the Ark just outside the city to somewhere in the no man's land between the opposing forces of the Hebrews and the Babylonians. And it's conceivable the Ark could have been hidden in the vicinity underground, under the ground, because chambers have been found under the ground right across Jerusalem.
Right.
Now, interesting thing, and I'm just going to go fast forward now to Ron Wyatt, an American archaeologist who was in Jerusalem in the late 1978. He decided to go sightseeing in the immediate area around his hotel. And that's the hotel we always stay at when we're in Jerusalem. It's run by Arabs. It's called the Jerusalem Hotel. It's close to the Damascus Gate.
Okay.
He was accompanied by a local official who invited him to inspect a property which he managed. And as they passed close to the base of an ancient stone quarry, and this had long been called the Calvary Escarpment,
right,
the two men were discussing Roman antiquities, and for a moment they stopped walking. And suddenly, to his total shock and dismay, Ron's left arm went out and pointed to a site that was being used as a trash dump with a dead cat lying on it, and his mouth said these words, "That's Jeremiah's grotto, and the Ark of the Covenant is in there." Well,
wow.
Immediately he thought, why did I say that? It wasn't even in my head. And his action had not been consciously done.
Right.
In fact, it was the first time he had ever thought about excavating for an ark. And I like the way Ron recalled it to me when we were talking about his discovery. And he said, "I was speaking to this archaeological gentleman with my mouth, said something my brain didn't go along with.
Right.
I had no idea about it." And while Ron stood in stunned silence, the other man, quite out of character, also reacted strangely. He said, "Oh, that's wonderful. I want you to excavate. We'll furnish you with a permit. We'll fix you up with a place to stay. We'll do your laundry. In fact, yes, we'll even supply your meals."
Wow.
And was Ron hearing right? And this man looked at him. "And we'll also furnish you with all the diggers you need." Well, Ron Wyatt did not know what to think. He had done archaeological work in several places, but never had experienced anything like this. And somehow he sensed this had to be a supernatural experience. In his mind, he knew it could be of God or of someone else.
Right.
And it was like a thunderbolt out of the blue.
Right.
And Ron says, "Look, thanks, but I'll have to decline your offer for now. I'm ready to fly home."
Right.
But he also needed time to think. You know, he had to figure it out if there was any reason to believe it should be there.
Right.
And then in Tel Aviv, a day or so later, just before catching his plane, Ron went for a drive with a head of the Department of Antiquities. And he told him of this experience and showed him the permit from the landowner. And immediately the Israeli official granted him an exploratory permit.
Wow.
Now, I should explain, Dr. Bill, I think we both realize this, and maybe some of our listeners will realize it too. It's the practice to grant an official excavation permit only to a full-time archaeologist who should be connected with an acceptable sponsoring institution, like a university.
Right.
And this you can confirm with the Antiquities Department of Israel. So they'll tell you that that's their procedure.
Right.
But Ron, in both respects, did not qualify. But the permit was not only granted, he didn't have to plead for it, it was offered to him.
Wow.
Now, evidently, the offer must have been built on confidence and trust from the earlier work that Ron had done, but this was a miraculous situation. First, Ron's strange outburst about the Ark of the Covenant, then the authorities' enthusiastic response to a foreigner, especially as it related to the most holy artifact that Israel possessed.
Right.
And so the question arose, was a divine hand involved? So Ron Wyatt and his sons Danny and Ronnie returned home, and then Ron began some serious research. And in January the next year, 1979, Ron returned to Jerusalem with his two sons. And they were to come back time and again, having little idea where they were even supposed to work. And over the next 3.5 years, the team was to spend hundreds of hours digging at that location and ultimately into a cave complex they found inside Golgotha Hill. And I actually have written a 600-page book on this dig, and it's a full report of the progress and its result is in my book on my website.
Right.
But anyway, that was a supernatural beginning to the search, and it's very, very interesting as we follow it through. I think maybe in the next broadcast we could follow through the interesting account of what happened.
Right. Now, of course, what this means, why would it happen so long ago and now it's been buried? And you're the only one for Ron Wise that's actually popularizing, which is why it's so important to get your books and videos, because this wisdom, our society in many ways is dying for lack of spiritual and geopolitical and godly wisdom, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes, it is. This generation is in famine mode spiritually.
Yeah.
There's a worldwide famine going on right now.
And by the way, the famine is not just the word of the reading the Bible. I saw ad this morning for a little video thing that you can play your scriptures. But you want to just play the scriptures. The scriptures are walked out by people like Ron Wyatt and yourself and people like me that walk with God. And our life becomes, in a sense, an addendum or an addition to the scriptures to say, everybody out there is, literally, I tell people, there's the Bible you can read and the Bible you can see in each individual. And people like Ron Wyatt and the discoveries he made, that's a different aspect of the Bible in us, or the living pages of the book.
Yes, it is. It's real, modern, today life. The
right.
Physical, you can touch it, you can see it, you can smell it.
Right. It's important for people to understand that too, isn't it?
I think so, yes, because we often think the Bible was written 2,000 years ago. What relationship does it have to us?
Exactly.
Well, very much so. It's more modern than newspapers, because it tells a future which newspapers can't do.
So, Jonathan, get back to me about what times you want to do your shows, whether daily, weekly, weekend, whatever, and we can modify that if necessary. We're going to have a lot of people grab their time slot pretty quick. This is important to get your information out. It's important for people to understand we're moving to a new step of syndication, the Neutral Medical Report, and all of our co-broadcasters worldwide. And now we have a stream that makes us, in a sense, a stream network. So we're going to have a much bigger platform to get this all over the world. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to do this. Thank you for the opportunity to walk with God. Thank you for the opportunity to know you've fallen. God picks us up and shakes our carcass and makes us a witness before God to say he gives us grace through the ark, doesn't he?
He does.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.